Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening. It's another Deserted Island Days here live in Sheffield on a Wednesday evening. This is the show where we get people who grew up in Ireland and now living in Sheffield. So I've got a fantastic guest tonight. It's Damien John Farrell. Yes, hello Damien, how are you doing?
How are we doing? Are we good?
Are we all good, yes?
Yeah, good.
I'm looking forward to tonight's show. So I've been chatting away to Damien for the last nearly an hour or so, and we've not stopped chatting. So I think that'll be the same, hopefully, in the show. Anyway,
I'm out of breath now.
That's it.
I've got nothing to say.
So what we do in the show is go through your life story, Damien, and we do that punctuated by music. And we're very lucky tonight that Damien's a fantastic musician and singer, and he's going to do at least two songs live in the studio for us. But we'll get to that point. But to start with, what we do is try and start at the beginning about your life. So you might be the first guest that breaks the unwritten rule of Deserted Island Days, in that we usually have people born in Ireland and they're now in Sheffield. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. It's not common knowledge, but...
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. I grew up in County Offaly, a place called Killy outside Tullamore, 5 miles outside. But my parents lived in Birmingham. They're both from Tullamore, by the way.
Yes, yes.
So they moved to Birmingham. They were there for about 11 years. But I was an accident, but I was accidentally born in Birmingham.
Oh. When,
but let it be known, I moved back.
Yes.
To Ireland when I was 6 months old. So I had nothing to do with the choice of Birmingham. I've nothing to do with the choice of my name. You don't get a choice at that age. So.
You don't know. No, you are.
Please don't judge. Don't judge me. Anybody that is listening,
Damien,
to this.
You are proper Irish.
Yeah. Thank you.
As my mum says, if you're born on a barn, it doesn't make you a horse. So both your parents are Irish.
Yes.
And you moved to Ireland at 6 months old. So
the family tree is completely Irish. So yeah.
Yes, proper Irish.
Don't kill me. All right.
So growing up, so you were the youngest.
I was the youngest of four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Village, kind of like an Eminem song, one shop, one pub, one post office. Primary school, we had to go to Tullamore for the secondary school. So lovely village, still is a lovely village. Got a lot of community friends, I'm still friends with to this day. The village, I would say, shaped a lot of what I've done, still do now. So with the values, even with the music and just the general sense of humour that you have with, I'd say, a village like Killy, because there's only one pub and there was no jukebox. It wasn't a child-friendly pub. If there is such a thing as a child-friendly pub, but when you get to about 17, 18, 19, 20, there wasn't a jukebox. The general crack was insane. It was just conversation, messing, a great lot of messing. And, as you can imagine, everybody got on with each other most of the time, but everybody knew exactly from your, I'd say, your spiritual habits are. You know, you might be... God, come in on a Sunday, you'd stay there, have 7-8 pints. By the time you're home, everybody knows everything.
All your business,
I had a lot of Sundays growing up there, so my cast was dyed, I think, I don't know. But it shaped a lot of who we become as we became, older. Yeah, we always kind of looked out for each other as friends. Most of us are still friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, so your older siblings, they were going to the pub.
No. They were a lot older than me. Like I said, I was an accident.
Yeah.
So the next one on was brother. He was 6 years older.
Right.
And then the oldest brother, the gap between me and him is 12 years.
Yeah.
But there was, I wouldn't say there was a relationship there. Of course, there was a relationship. Jesus lived in a house for years. He should have moved out years ago. But he was always, you know, he was kind of, I would say, the first instance of getting my hands on listening to music. Because he bought, you know, tapes.
Yeah.
But he was so mean when it come to a stereo. He'd hide the plug.
Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't listen to it. Even when he was away, he'd hide the plug. Which I
that
still...
That is a bit mean. That is a bit mean. That,
it's horrendous.
Yeah.
And he did that. And he said, who's been playing here? there he is. On the stereo and hide the plug. What's good of me not having his stereo, listening to his CDs? What's it going to... You know, but he was just so...
Did he have some cool CDs at least? Was he into good music? Did he?
He had some compilations through no choice of his own. So some good stuff was on it. Not by his indirect taste. He just didn't know. And sometimes I end up buying, you know, tapes and CDs and using his thing. I didn't have money. Jesus, nobody had money. I worked in a hi-fi shop. I got something on finance, which I'm trying to remember, did I actually pay back? No, I did, because I worked in the company and absolutely went through me carrying TVs all the time. So, no, they got their pound of flesh out of me, no problem.
Good. And you could play your own tapes and CDs?
Eventually, when I wasn't in school, but when I was in school, I was, you know, we'd have taped tapes, you know, we used to put your fingers
on, record.
Play, record, listening to Dave Fanning, you know, listen to that particular song and exhaust the tape. He used to go mad if I was playing on his stereo, even though it didn't cause any harm, but the whole aspect of it's mine.
Yeah.
He's still like that today.
Oh, well. Do you have a good relationship with him now then?
Well, look, I would... Even if I did or didn't, I wouldn't hide the stereo.
Yes.
It's just ridiculous.
Maybe you should have a heart-to-heart with him. Have you mentioned this to him, Dave?
I don't need to have a heart-to-heart with him because he knows the crack. Been through it many times and people should have stood up for me more in that house because he was the oldest and I don't know if he was giving a bit of money to the mother and father, you know, if they respected, you know, his boundaries. I respected a lot of things, but I didn't think that kind of meanness was needed.
Well, I'm on your side on this, yes.
Well, you should have been with me in the mid-90s then.
Yeah, I could have protected you.
You use my stereo. Very little protection. Very little.
So part of what we do, Damien, is play some songs. So we probably should play one of your songs. I know your first choice is the Cranberries one. Which is Jumps. I know you was kind of a bit later in life, but explain why you've picked that one.
Again, I think we were the only family in our estate of 22 houses that actually dived into getting Sky TV.
Right.
So with MTV, and this song, I just remember as clear as day. And again, seeing it on telly, I was big into kind of grungy, rocky music. But this song, I just remember it was played off MTV all the time. It was 95. I remember this is cool. It was around Easter as well. And I always remember this. And it was the first member who said, you know, Limerick, I like this. Was I learning to play guitar then? I don't know, but I was deadly interested in music and just everything that comes up with being in secondary school. And this one, anytime Easter... to my head, or, you know, especially Good Friday. I always think of this song.
You remember it well.
It takes me back to that moment. And I probably did have it on a stereo taped off the radio and played it countless times when I shouldn't have done. But
No, you're allowed to do that. Okay, so I can't be with you, Cranberries.
Put your hands
That's the Cranberries, I Can't Be With You. That's the choice of Damien, my guest tonight on Deserted Island Days. Yes, nice, lovely song that. So that really inspired you for you?
It just, when thinking about it and picking songs, that was one of them that I remembered. I said, yeah, it takes me back every time I hear to that period when I was in secondary school going, you know, I think it was, I could be wrong, 95.
Yeah.
And everything else. So that sounded MTV and just a bit played off. And it was just inspiring. I guess it was Irish.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you're saying you thought it was something that was achievable because they were from your country and, yeah.
Well, they weren't just from Ireland. They were from a rural part of Ireland, which is Limerick. It wasn't Dublin. You know, everything seems to be quite fashionable, but comes out of Dublin, nearly gets famous. And they weren't massive in the UK, they were massive in America first.
Yeah. No, big enough, and
Zombie exploded, but they had the album beforehand, which had Dreams, Linger. So they were on their way. It was that second album that probably got them across, and not a lot of people know the message with the song Zombie. They think it's about the troubles in the north. Not only that, but it's much more than that. It's about, you know, people, you know, dying, you know, the message of, you know, cancer as well. The message is completely different.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get back to you. So we're trying to talk about your childhood still at the moment. So you say you went to primary school, first school.
I went to primary school in Killy.
Yeah, and then in your village then, yeah.
There's no secondary school
in
Killy. So like most rural towns, you go to the main big town, which would have been Tullamore. So not only with Killy, you would have had rural towns like Dangan. You'd have, you know, outside of Tullamore. So you'd have probably Mucklay. You'd have towns, maybe six buses all converging of rural boys and girls converging on Tullamore, which you'd have the town lads who would be all fairly cliquey.
Yeah.
So having us just converge into that,
yeah,
it was very interesting.
So you got to see, I suppose, different styles of music and different people from different, I suppose, walks of life.
Well, everybody in Tullamore had MTV, not everybody in Killy. So, but obviously, when I went to secondary school first, Nirvana were huge. That kind of Soundgarden, that grunge movement, Pearl Jam. I just remember everybody had a Low Alpine school bag with black marker and long hair, combat jackets, just general down and out scruffiness that goes with being a teenager and just being looking the part and just the music. So there was always school discos. Rage Against the Machine was big as well. All that kind of, so we're fascinated with that. And wanted to delve into it more, because our house, my brother, the mean brother, was mad into Queen and Billy Joel, so he had none of this stuff, and he was anti. That could have been another reason why he didn't want me to have the cordless flex, because he didn't like the music I was getting into. He didn't care what I was listening to, he just didn't. He was like Scrooge of the sound. But he didn't want me to have it. But the amount of people, young people, in that school in particular, and there was another secondary school called The Tech, the amount of young lads, it was an all-boys school where I went to, the amount of people learning how to play guitar in one classroom, everybody was pretending like they were playing acoustic guitar in the room. They had their fingers were in bits, you know, everybody was drumming the tables with pens. It was infectious. I was never involved in any of those cool groups, as I call it. No. I didn't play guitar till probably I nearly left school. But I was always interested in music. But everybody else was, you know, talking about chords, playing guitars, acoustic. Bad Nights in the GAA Centre in Tullamore, just doing original songs.
That surprises me, that, because, I mean, I've seen you play, live in Sheffield at various venues, and you can play. You know, it's good.
Okay.
So you didn't really start. Was you a singer then? Because you've got a great voice, and you're a good front man in terms of, it feels like you like being on stage.
I do. No, I feel good with it. I'm all right. But I sang before I play guitar, which is weird, because I think there was a youth club situation. I was always quite yappy anyway. But I think it happened by accident at a youth club in Killy, where, again, this situation with all the guitars, people going down there, there was like 7 guitars, young people, there was a bass player. I'd never seen a bass actually plugged in properly that close to me by someone who probably wasn't, you know, a professional.
Yeah.
So it was like that first jam situation.
Yeah, nice.
But all very good and all playing, you know, and everybody, but nobody was singing.
Yeah.
So you had all this noise, a guitar playing, and there was loads of, you know, people standing around saying, well, this is brilliant, but it's also great. There's nothing to sing about. There's nothing to keep you there. And I just end up singing something, grabbing a mic, and if that was it.
Brilliant.
That was it.
So was it... Was it like original stuff, or you play like Nirvana?
No, it was a Green Day song, actually. Off When I Come Around. Because of that time, it was about 94, 95, and the structure of the chords is G, D, E, C. There's nothing to it. So it was
like
about
an Irish song.
Anything starting in G is an Irish song. But there was nothing to it. So everybody, and then the microphone was picked up. I wasn't sure. I was fairly confident in the words. People would argue that. But I just started singing, and then seeing the concentration, and it got closer together because there was someone singing. But now there's, there's a structure. There's something we have to continue on, because if he's singing it, then we've got to continue it. So there's that kind of ready presence.
So, well, it sounds perfect, like organic, of just kind of that happening like that. Did you get to
it
do
was
any...
a sober, it was a sober, yeah. Well, you would hope the kids were sober at 15. It was like a sober jam night, if you like, with a youth club. But it was much smaller than that, but it was like a semicircle.
And did you get to do any gigs with them people? Did it form into a band, or was it just...
formed into two bands. One were a revival band, and one was us. We were the delinquent band, and the others had, I suppose, they had, for want of a better word, they had more money and kind of idea what to do as regards to good gear. We were just, we plugged 3 guitars into one amp, you know, it sounded like a right noise, but I think... We had more gumption, and we had more style, and we thought we were cooler.
Punk and rock and roll.
We were definitely more punk, smelling, sounding. No, it was just good crack. It was a rivalry. We were in a band.
What was the name?
Parasite.
Parasite, nice.
And they were called Hidden. And anybody that was in that room that night kind of split into those bands. And Jesus Christ, the amount of trouble it caused and hardship. There was, oh God, I got punched over this, and you know, they would do a recording, and you know, we're number one, and but yeah. the guy that was there playing guitar in our group was a bit older. Yeah. He was like, if I was 17, bass player was 16. We had a guy who was 24 in the band, wow. But they had a guy who was 24 in their band, so there was like a gap. It was like this kind of maestro buying pints magic machine. But he had money and he ended up getting the car. But we pulled the stroke because we ended up playing in the local pub. Yes. We did the
before
gig.
Before them.
Before them. Yeah, no, and that is what solidified. Solidified, yes. If it was good, there is a videotape of it. I haven't seen it in years, but there is a tape.
Yeah.
I just felt, because we were in a pint playing establishment, it that's felt it. Real. And it felt like, yeah, what are you going to do now?
You won. I'm loving
Game
this.
Game over.
I'm loving this, Damien, but we should play a song. So you've got Pride, In the Name of Love, by you two. Yeah. Why this?
Again, it's like an early memory. When going back in the 80s, my sister, like you two, and I remember this, we had an old box telly in the kitchen, and the lower got the telly for it was massive, too big for the kitchen, massive. I remember there was a thing called MTUSA, which I can't remember the guy's name. There was a Barry Lang who did Sunday Mornings on RTE or Network 2. I remember this song, and obviously the Irish thing, and you two were stratospheric, and it just come off the back of Band-Aid, but it was beyond that. And I just remember this song just being powerful. Not that it's my favourite song, but I remember for, you know, striking me.
It's a childhood thing, yeah.
Yeah.
That's him. Okay, let's play this.
Oh,
You too there, yes, with Pride in the Name of Love, the choice of my guest, Damien John Farrell, here on Deserted Island Disc. It's the show where we get someone from Ireland who now lives in South Yorkshire and they come and tell us about their life and pick some songs for us to do. And as I was saying, we've got a treat tonight because Damien's going to play the next song live on his guitar. But just to, before we get there, really, just talk about kind of one of the key things in your life. I follow you on Facebook, and everyone can follow you on Facebook and Instagram, can't they?
Find yeah, they can, yeah, on most platforms.
Just the other day, I saw you did a beautiful post about your sister, who passed away when you were at that age we were talking about. So you're about 18. And it was, it was a lovely post kind of talking about how important it is to talk and things. But if you don't mind talking a little bit about kind of that time in your life and how, what that challenge was for you and your family.
I was 18 when it happened. It happened when I did the post, 27th of September, 97. Like I said to you, when we did that pub gig, the band Parasite, that was August 97. So between, I think, that wonderful kind of moment of playing in a pub for the first time to then
Your sister was there.
She was there for a bit. I remember, she was there. My father was there. Mother was there. Day was absolutely soaking. But we were in this like shed out back type thing. Now, I remember seeing her briefly because I don't think she could quite believe that I was singing and playing guitar, whatever it may be, badly or sounding awful, or she didn't like it. I don't know, but she was there briefly anyway. But to go from that, seeing, I suppose, the joy in, say, my father, he thought we were you two playing in Killy with these electric guitars. My mother was, you know, whatever. And to what would happen then, I'd say 6 weeks later, to completely obliterate and change the trajectory of the rest of your life. Yeah. Not just for me, obviously for them and how they lived their life and how they dealt with, I suppose, the loss of their daughter, the house. God, was the only way I could describe it, it was black for years and years after. Probably looking back on it now, how would I have coped or how did I cope? Just young, 18, having a lot of people around you. You don't know what's ahead when you're that age. Yeah. You know, how it can determine your mind. A lot about mental health we talk about today. When you're 18, you're just thinking about next week, your next steps. You haven't a clue.
So how did you get through it? I suppose you'd start, you had to work and find a job and...
Yeah, well, I was working in a TV shop called Kilroy's on the High Street, famous in Tullamore. It's gone now. And I was from there, but I was working when I was told. I was doing delivery kind of beds with a guy who was local to me. I was told in the van that morning by a neighbour. Yeah. So I had to go, you know, straight out to the house. It was a Saturday. It was surreal. Still remember it like yesterday. And like I said, in Ireland, you're buried 3 days later.
Yeah,
you know, the grieving process, it's one big blur, that whole period of time. But I remember all kind of well-ish. But the trajectory of what changed. And I played the guitar acoustic, or the acoustic guitar. And when mother and father were probably not there, or whatnot, I'd play that. Yeah. And I think by hook or by crook, I was playing it, but not sure why I was playing it.
Yeah.
But I was just determined to just play it and, I suppose, get better. And lo and behold,
and you could escape
kind of stuck
a bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. And there's some escapism with the guitar and music to kind of get to that place that's a better place. It's difficult, but I said it was a great post, and it's great you still obviously remember your sister and she's still brought fondly. But the message of talking to someone if you're even in that position was something you were pushing strongly.
Well, that's, you're talking, Google was invented in 98, so obviously no phones, no kind of internet. You can imagine the support was there, you know, texting. But we lived in a state, in a village. Yeah. We're good friends and we're still doing the music. After the pub gig that we did, we didn't play another one, really again as that band. But I was well minded. There was eyes on me because I was the youngest and there was no one else in the house really, apart from me and parents and you know that's it. Brothers were much older.
But you said you did a gig with the Rivals, didn't you? You joined some of the rival band.
No, some of the band we end up dispersing. Parasite. I don't know why it just faded away. We hit too high.
Yeah,
we were too high. We've done it. We
you got to the moon.
We out hurled them before on the ground. We come up with the masterstroke, play in the pub, watch your next move. You'll never beat that. You can go and ask Matt Doyle. Say, Marcus, it's hard to play in the pub now. It won't be because we thought of it first.
Yeah.
We did end up one of the guys from that band and us and another guy who wasn't involved in it at all and made this, I suppose, some sort of super group out of two groups. And we did record and we did record some songs and we end up playing, I think, two or three gigs. We did one at the rugby club there's a director in Ireland, he's on Netflix, his name's Paddy Slattery, and he was having a video launch for one of his songs. And again, there was another band called Hogan that were quite prominent and quite well to do. They were like the new rival, more money.
Yeah.
But we had, again, there's always people out there with more money than us, and I love that. But again, we bloody end up wrecking that brilliantly, and we made it all about us. Couldn't have wrote it better. Just trust me, lads. I'll take you into hell, and we'll be blown out of it. Don't worry.
What was the name of that band then?
Brother Rufus.
Brother Rufus. They're on YouTube, are they, or somewhere?
We have files. I think there is YouTube videos. Jesus, there's so many tapes and stuff out there that I don't know. But they're out there. I do have files of it. I do have them with me. So
that
some of that was really, really good. Yeah. But in between that, we went three piece and we had a band called Crazy Jane. And I might do you one of those songs at the end.
Okay. Well, let's say. Well, are we ready to do a song now for us, Damien? Yeah.
I think this is probably one of my favourite Irish songs. I know it's a Deserted Ireland disc, so I think it's only right.
Thank you.
That we'll do something on the Irish level. So this one is When You Were Sweet 16. First, I saw love light in your eyes. I thought the world had not the joy for me. And even though we drifted far apart, I never dreamed of what I dreamed of you. I loved you as I never loved before. When first I saw you on the village green, come to me, and my dreams of love is whole. I loved you as I loved you when you were sweet, when you were sweet. 6 days. Thank you. as I never loved before. When first I saw you on the village green, come to me and my dreams of love is old. I loved you as I loved you when you were sweet, when you were sweet. 6 days.
Beautiful. Oh, that's Damien John Farrell live in the studio here on a Wednesday night in Sheffield Live. That's fantastic, Damien. Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Great guitar playing. Beautiful.
Not bad. No, not bad, no. I'm okay, you know, throwing enough dung at the wall. Some of it's going to stick, but yeah, no, I've done okay.
It sounds gorgeous, sounds gorgeous. Do you want to do a quick, well, take as long as you want, telling us where people can see you play, so...
Right, well... This weekend, I was going to be playing at the Four Leaf, which is beside City Hall. Well, it's pretty much nearly attached. Going to be playing there from 5 to 8. And then to Hella Verona, which is the band I'm involved with. We play a lot. Playing Sheffield again Saturday night.
Right.
Coming in October. We've got dates. Probably best to go on to Hella Verona on Instagram or Facebook. We've got dates coming up for Nottingham, Birmingham, Derby, York, Harrogate, Leeds, in no particular order.
So that's good, isn't it?
That's just October.
What say that by name solely?
To Hell or Verona.
To Hell or Verona. And why is it called that?
To Hell or Verona is, well, we kind of come up with this idea. To Hell, you could, mentally you could stay in Hell. And I look at this in a way that you could stay down, grounded, be sad, be depressed, could be some sort of mental hell. Or you can take a chance on love and still equally be as miserable.
Okay.
Or you could be happy but take a chance. Verona being, you know, the Romeo and Juliet story.
Yes.
So it's either stay miserable but take a chance on love, but by Jesus it mightn't work out. You know, either way, there is a meaning in the name. It's not particularly the happiest, but there may be a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't stay there. Try and take a chance.
That's a good, nice message. Good message. So, yeah, so you're doing well with the music then. Who books your gigs and stuff? Who is that? You've got an agent or agency?
A bit of both. Really.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, there has been a bit of an explosion, I think, in Sheffield of those kind of venues, haven't they? So
I think I'm largely to blame in some regards. Because the first one that was launched back in...
So Molly Malone's was it? Yeah.
I was the first one to play there.
Yeah, yeah.
As the band, and kind of did it to death. And then there was more. So I've been playing and doing that, but doing it with bands, duos, and
yeah.
I could be responsible. Largely it's not a bad
thing.
A kick
it's not a bad thing.
It.
Yeah.
I didn't create the only. I would have set up a pub myself.
But it, I mean,
never
it's
worked behind or in. Yeah. Pub trade, I wouldn't know where to begin. Been in front of a few bars, yeah, but never just, I wouldn't have a clue. It's kind of a regret, but never say never.
Yeah, you know.
I have no idea the pub trade. I don't think I'd like to do it.
You know, but I mean, no, I've seen you play, is it Katie O'Shea's as well? What's the one, sorry, that used to be a Cuban?
Katie O'Brien's.
Katie O'Brien's, yes. There's so many names, isn't there?
Well, we've seen each other in the Grapes, I think... The Grapes is the spiritual home of the Irish people of Sheffield.
I think
and
so too.
Knowing that's we're playing at Bramall Lane, the home of Sheffield United, in November for the St. Vincent's GAA team.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm doing that with To Hell or Verona.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that promised to be, it's always a good night with those lads and ladies. Yeah. They know how to play football, but they know how to
enjoy themselves. Football. Yes, we've had a few of those as guests on the show. And
Sarah, yes.
Sarah and Danny, yeah. And do you know what? Dermot is the...
I know them all.
Yes, yes. Good lads and ladies.
Some would call them good lads, some would call them, you know, devils. But yeah, all in good fun.
Good, good. So we've got so much to talk about. We've only got 20 minutes left, Damien. So one of the things that was really interesting is that you went to play in the Canary Islands.
Canary Islands.
Yeah. Talk us a bit about kind of how that happened or and what it was like.
Sure, yeah. 2011. I don't know if this came at the right time, but I think it did. Given the nature of how I was feeling at home and everything that may be happening, I just felt I'd run my course a little bit in where I was in maybe Tullamore or Killy. I think I didn't know, but I got a message from this bar, this venue called McCarty's, still there and still kicking, it's doing great, in Coraleco, and he'd seen a video on YouTube. I still don't know what the video is, but he's seen it, and I said, I didn't even ask, and he said, I had a chat with him on the phone, and I thought he was taking the piss out of me. I really did. I said, he messaged, and I went...
So he offered you a job in Fuerteventura, basically?
He offered me something. He said, well, he's from Sligo, his name was Declan Scott, and he offered me, like, well, this is the crack, lad, you do 6 nights out a week out here. I thought, that's mental, that's too much anyway. Abu said, we'll get your flights, we'll give you digs, accommodation. I said, I'm not paying for the digs. Oh, no, 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 we'll take care of it. And I went, I could say no to this.
Yeah.
And I'll regret it for the rest of my life.
Sounds like a great deal, right?
You think? It was exhausting. Yeah. And I wouldn't say it went to plan at the start. He picked me up from the airport, took my guitar, my bag of leads, brought me in, handed me the keys, left me in the room. He said, I'll see you tomorrow, lad. And I was playing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And I was in this room looking at this apartment above the pub, so there was no escape from it. I was thinking, what have you done? What? And the bar was full. It was one of these really nice venue bars as well.
How was it? Good? An Irish pub, obviously.
And, yeah, it was. Yeah. But it was really nice. It was table service. None of this mess and the lads going up. To five Jägerbombs, you know, nothing. It was great.
So it was right
you sat at a table, people come down, you tip, and nice, you know, good hospitality. And it was really well run, and it was what I said in the tin. Nothing prepared me for how to mime my voice. Six nights in, the week after, I don't know if the climate felt really poor.
So now, how many hours a night are you doing tonight?
Oh, 3:45s.
Yeah, so
it's grueling. Yeah. In that heat as well. Yeah. I arrived end of March.
So and, you got a full summer, yeah.
I was there till Halloween.
Yeah.
The last night I was there was Halloween. From March to... I did 28 nights straight in August in the heat.
Did you do in it 1 year or did you go back another year?
Took a stint off for about 3 months just to reassess.
Yeah.
You know, prepare. So I need to go back because I wasn't ready to go back to Ireland. In all honesty, I did go back and I felt, no, I need to take a rest and go back and finish maybe do another year because I enjoyed it. I felt like I was doing something. I had a purpose. I was making okay money. It wasn't so much about the money, but the lifestyle and everything else. I wasn't prepared to let it go.
So we're running out of time. But we need to talk about how you got to Sheffield. But should we play a song? We've got, we're going to have time for one more song on here. So you've got Bees Wing or Mexico. What do you want?
Go Bees Wing, because I want to dedicate it to the guy who I met in Fuerteventura, brings it up nicely, whose name is Andrea Vittori. He's Italian. Played guitar with him in his hometown of Trieste. And he's gone on to do great things with a band called 40 Fingers. His father died today and they treated me with hospitality. So this is for him.
Oh, a lovely song.
I was 18 when I came to town. They call it the summer of love. The burning babies, burning flags, the hawks against the dove. I took a job at the steaming, way down on Caltrum Street. And I fell in love with the laundry girl working next to me. Brown hair zigzagged around her face, a look of half surprise. Like a fox caught in the headlights, there was animal in her eyes. She said to me, "Can't you see I'm not the factory kind? And if you don't take me out of here, I'll lose me mind." Oh, she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing. So fine a breath of wind might blow her away. She was a lost child, she was running wild. She said, "So long as there's no price on love, I'll stay. You wouldn't want me any other way." We busked around the market towns, fruit picking down in Kent. We could tinker pots and pans and knives wherever we went. We were camping down the Gower, but the work was mighty good. She wouldn't wait for the harvest, and I thought we should. I said to her, "We'll settle down and get a few acres dug, with a fire burning in the heart and babbies on the rug." She said, "Oh man, you foolish man, that surely sounds like hell. You might be lord of half the world, you'll not own me as well." Oh, she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing. So fine a breath of wind might blow her away. She was a lost child, she was running wild. She said, "So long as there's no price and love, I'll stay. You wouldn't want me any other way." We were drinking more in those days, our tempers reached a pitch. Like a fool, I let her run away when she took the rambling itch. And the last I heard, she's living rough back in the Derby beat, with a bottle of white horse in her pocket, a wolfhound at her feet. They said that she got married once to a man called Romany Brown. Even a gypsy caravan was too much like settling down. They say her roses faded, rough weather and hard booze. Maybe that's the price you pay for the chains you refuse. Oh, she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing. And I miss her more than ever words can say. If I could just taste all of her wildness now, if I could hold her in my arms today, I wouldn't want her.
Beautiful, Christy. Beautiful, Christy. Sorry to cut Christy short there, but we're running out of time again on our show. So we've not even got you to Sheffield yet. So tell us the main reason is why you came to Sheffield.
It wasn't something I picked Sheffield and spun the globe and put my finger to Sheffield. I would have picked Barbados or somewhere else, to be honest. But my wife, I didn't know she was going to be my wife at the time, but she was involved in coming into the bar quite a bit. And I met her through that. I wish to say there was a more elaborate story, we met there, yeah. And I wasn't looking for anything, but it just sort of happened to click in that second kind of...
Was she working there as well then, yeah?
No, she was working as a teacher here in Sheffield.
Oh, so she was on holiday.
She's from Derby, right. But I don't know where she's from. She's born in Ipswich, a bit like me, over the place. But we kind of commuted...
So you had a holiday
back
romance.
Back and forth. My holidays was coming here to Sheffield. And she's coming back. And we decided to move in January... a year and a half later, and we got married in 2015. We got a little boy now. She's called Jessica, my son's called Shay, and he's 8 years old. And
that's it.
holiday romances, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes they can work.
Yeah. So, well, you're in Sheffield now, then, aren't you? So, lads at school and all that, yeah. So it's
lads in school, he's in, yeah.
So you feel you're committed to Sheffield.
He's in year four.
Yeah.
He's doing all right. He's no interest in any of the things I had interest younger. He's not interested in football, music. Not yet, but I don't think I was too much either when I was 8 years old either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. But he's got his own personality. He's got a mix of his mother's madness and mine.
Okay.
And hope to God he's able to engineer himself better than I did going forward.
So, yeah, so you're settled in Sheffield now. So you've been here how long now?
I'm here 12 years.
12 years, yeah.
12 years.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
I'm gone out of Ireland about 14, yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a long time gone.
Well, let's get you to play your final song, and then we might have a couple of minutes at the end just to wrap up and say thank you, etc.
Thank you for having me. It's been absolutely lovely.
No, it's been great.
I've got to play a song. I don't usually do at gigs, but this was part of that. The band growing up was called Crazy Jane, with the two lads that were in it. Finn Kelly won drums, Joe Daly on bass, Armin Maroney did a bit of backing guitar on this. He doesn't get mentioned at all, but this one is probably, I think, is one of the best ones we did. Still sounds pretty good today, from where we recorded and how much bloody funk of, you know, we were trying to make it sound, but it just sounded alright. This one's called Aegis. Riddles and words and songs about our lives roll into one drunken night. We pray for tragedies and myths to keep us warm, to keep us sane. I don't believe we're told. Don't teach your children what they already know. I know it's heart and soul. Keep them back, not let anything in. I wanna be misled. Romantic comedy is no style will have its ways. Everyone has a purpose. I wanna be misled. Romantic comedy is nostalgia will tell its tales. I wanna be your agent. I wanna be your agent. I wanna be your agent. So give us a twirl and dance away the night. Drink up, lads, that's twice each flash the lights. Is there a chance of another pint? If you got money, there's every chance you might. I don't believe we're told. Don't teach your children what they already know. I know it's hard, it's so, to keep them back, not let anything in. I wanna be misled. Romance the common days, nostalgia has its days. Everyone has a purpose. I wanna be misled. Romance the common days, nostalgia has its days. I wanna be a reject. 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 I'll be a reject tonight. 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 I'll be a reject tonight.
Superb. Thanks, Damien.
That's a song about growing up in your one pub village on a Sunday night. A as a young lad, trying to impress other people but not yourself.
Yeah. Is that something did you write the words for that? Or?
Yeah. But it is what it says in tin. And the thing, the line I like the best is, drink up, lads, that's twice, slash the lights. It's obviously slash the
last orders. Orders, yeah,
there's
yeah.
no hurry, there's nowhere to go. I love that line the best out of it. There's a chance of another pint, maybe, but there was never a chance of another pint. Lock in that place.
They've got to be strict, yeah.
Always strict. Don't always like that.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So, what's the plans for the future? So, you're saying you're gigging loads, like up until Christmas, and then you might have a chance to do a bit of recording or something?
Ideally, yeah, we'll be. I've always had problems, I think. Well, initially, maybe this is insecurity of, 20 years ago, how I sound. I still do of how I sound on tape, but I sound all right. Still haven't, there's loads of things kind of written and done, but we're going to finally put something on tape or...
So making that transition, because you're a live act, aren't you?
And I'm a live act, but there is stuff and there is something in the background, and watch this space. There's festivals kind of penciled in for next year, big ones.
Yeah.
That we can't talk about now, but they're good. So that's next year. So we're doing a lot in Birmingham. So
yeah, no, but you're saying you've got gigs in Birmingham coming up all over. But I suppose it's that thing, because when I've seen you play, you put your heart and soul into performing live, and you're banging out songs, and you get the audience involved, don't you? So that transition to going to the studio must be a big thing. Yeah.
What it's going to sound. I think I've been with people in recording songs. We have an idea of, it should sound like this or that. I've never been predominantly the chief to say I want it exactly sounding like this. I think I am now, though.
So you'll be, well, you were saying it because the guy in the band with you as well, is that James?
James, yes.
Yeah, so you kind of...
Lyrically, musically, he is flawless. Piano, violin. He can play loads of different things. He's given me the leeway just to come up with, the lyrics and come up with the scopes of songs. And we're getting there. We wanted to establish some sort of following first, which we have kind of done between all these places we go to.
Yeah.
Not lose the essence of playing live, but we have to have an idea of what we're supposed to sound like.
Yeah.
And that is something that we're just niddling a bit and just getting a bit of an idea and grasp. We have it, we just haven't put it out yet.
Yeah, so you're getting there. So, I mean, you've played so often together now. If you're doing all those gigs, it's like that kind of chemistry, hopefully, is
there. The chemistry's there from... It kind of happened by default, but we are going to, next year, just, videos and more appearances. Can't say a whole pile about it, but... Come Christmas, I think we'll be able to tell you exactly what we're doing, because there is going to be recordings, there's going to be lots of nonsense posts and, interaction in that regard. So watch this space, I guess.
So does the From Hell to Verona, they got Instagram and...
They have an Instagram, Facebook, as you can imagine, everything's online these days.
So we see you all there. So, well, we've just got about 20 seconds left just to say goodbye, but I just want to say thank you so much, Damon. I've absolutely loved it tonight. I've had a good laugh.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And join us every week on Deserted Island Disc. So we've got a few people booked up for the next few weeks. But so just for everyone else, enjoy the rest of the evening, and we'll see you soon.